Negative energy is different from negative matter in that it actually exists, but only in minute quantities. In 1933, Hendrik Casimir made a bizarre prediction using the laws of the quantum theory. He claimed that two uncharged parallel metal plates will attract each other as if by magic. Normally, parallel plates are stationary, since they lack any net charge. But the vacuum between the two parallel plates is not empty, but full of virtual particles, which dart in and out of existence. For brief periods of time, electron-anti-electron pairs burst out of nothing, only to be annihilated and disappear back into the vacuum. Ironically, empty space, which was once thought to be devoid of anything, now turns out to be churning with quantum activity. Normally, tiny bursts of matter and antimatter would seem to violate the conservation of energy. But because of the uncertainty principle, these tiny violations are incredibly short-lived, and on average, energy is still conserved. Casimir found that the cloud of virtual particles will create a net pressure in the vacuum. The space between the two parallel plates is confined, and hence the pressure is low. But the pressure outside the plates is unconfined and larger, and hence there will be a net pressure pushing the plates together. Normally, the state of zero energy occurs when these two plates are at rest and sitting far apart from each other. But as the plates come closer together, you can extract energy out of them. Thus, because kinetic energy has been taken out of the plates, the energy of the plates is less than zero. This negative energy was actually measured in the laboratory in 1948, and the results confirmed Casimir's prediction. Thus, negative energy and the Casimir effect are no longer science fiction, but established fact. The problem, however, is that the Casimir effect is quite small. It takes delicate, state-of-the-art measuring equipment to detect this energy in the laboratory. In general, the Casimir energy is proportional to the inverse fourth power of the distance of separation between the plates. This means that the smaller the distance of separation, the larger the energy. The Casimir effect was measured precisely in 1996 by Stephen Lamoureux at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. And the attractive force is 1/30,000th the weight of an ant. Since Alcubierre first proposed his theory, physicists have discovered a number of strange properties. The people inside the starship are causally disconnected from the outside world. This means that you cannot simply press a button at will and travel faster than light. You cannot communicate through the bubble. There has to be a pre-existing highway through space and time, like a series of trains passing by on a regular timetable. In this sense, the starship would not be an ordinary ship that can change directions and speeds at will. The starship would actually be like a passenger car riding on a pre-existing wave of compressed space, coasting along a pre-existing corridor of warp space-time. Alcubierre speculates, we would need a series of generators of exotic matter along the way, like a highway, that manipulates space for you in a synchronized way. Actually, even more bizarre types of solutions to Einstein's equations can be found. Einstein's equations state that if you are given a certain amount of mass or energy, you can compute the warping of space-time that the mass or energy will generate, in the same way that if you throw a rock into a pond, you can calculate the ripples that it will create. But you can also run the equations backward. You can start with a bizarre space-time, the kind found in episodes of The Twilight Zone. In these universes, for example, you can open up a door and find yourself on the moon. You can run around a tree and find yourself backward in time, with your heart on the right side of your body. Then you calculate the distribution of matter and energy associated with that particular space-time. This means that if you are given a bizarre collection of waves on the surface of a pond, you can work backward and calculate the distribution of rocks necessary to produce these waves. This was, in fact, the way in which Alcubierre derived his equations. He began with a space-time consistent with going faster than light, and then he worked backward and calculated the energy necessary to produce it.